All right. If you have your Bibles quickly, let's just open to the book of Psalms 103. Let me just answer a question that people ask me once in a while. Somebody asked me that recently here again. I've had to answer that question again and again. Well, it's not as if I want to teach. We just want to continue praying like we were doing last time. We won't spend too much time. We're very tired praying today. Peter said that, even though I know you know these things, I will not be negligent concerning reminding you about them. It's a truth you already know and you have been established in, but I must continually remind you of them, he was saying. All right, Psalm 103. He said, the Lord has established, verse 19, please. He said, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom or his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. He said, bless the Lord, all you his hosts, that is, his warriors, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget that. You are giving instructions to your body. I think it was last Tuesday we discussed that, right? That what we are doing is that we are instructing our systems how to behave. We are instructing ourselves. I'm not discussing that now. But somebody asked me once, you know, a few weeks ago, we talked about the power of God. We have not finished that series. We'll still get back to it. But as the Lord leads, we just minister on Tuesdays. We are speaking about the power of God. And I explained the issue of the manifestation of the angels of God. And I've had to answer this question again and again since I was in university. And that's because sometimes people say that, because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that they are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. So they say that you are supposed to command your angels to go and do things for you. You should give commandments to your angels. So people are asking me that, is that right? Now, the detail of the controversy is not necessary. Is that all right? There's only one thing I understand. Sometimes people tell you that, I've heard this one before. I say, tell your angels to go and beat that person. It's a lie. You can't do that one. Are you getting my point? You hear what I said? You say, Pastor Banker, how do you mean we can't do it? Because I never saw anywhere in the Bible where it was done. That's all. So there's no precedence for it. Those of you who understand law, you understand? Hey, Gose, you're sitting down there. There's no precedence for it. We don't just get up and create our own ideas. Our constitution, our law book, our codes, our criminal code, everything that we want to use is right here. Are you getting my point? We don't invent new ones. So we take our precedence from what is in the scriptures. All right, I'm not going to the principle of biblical interpretation now, but if I've not seen it like that, just don't come up and cook it up. But I've seen divine manifestations. I have seen the walking of angels as expressed in the scriptures and being manifested again in modern day life. You know, something happened the other day. Okay, in church, I was on the rock here. There was a program a few days ago. And one of the people who came to minister is the pastor of the Just branch of House on the Rock. And he said something. When he said that, I said, these are the things that we have been saying. During the Just crisis, there was one of his men. In fact, the guy came with him, a captain in the Nigerian army, that was killed. All right, so they just brought his body back to his house. So he prayed until the guy got up and got tired of dying. You know what I'm saying? The point is that he said before the guy died, the last thing he said, a mobile policeman carried him and brought a corpse to where his men are. He's a military officer. And said that before he died, he said, take me to my pastor. Now this is where I'm going. He said, since then, they have been looking for that mobile policeman. They have not found him. So the man concluded that must have been an angel. And I said, look, I said this thing before. Taxi driver will drive you one day. You know, goodness, an angel they drive. Hey, I'm telling you the truth. Do you follow my point? Yes, the manifestations are real. They're in the scriptures, all right? Joshua met a man one day. He said, are you on our side or you're against us? He just thought was a normal warrior. But he wasn't talking to a normal human being, all right? But the point I just want to bring up, let me just emphasize this. So, people ask that, do you give commandments to your angels? What I want to remind us of today is something slightly, it's along that line, but I just want to use that one to introduce it. And I said, well, I don't know. I don't understand the scriptures where you can get up and tell your angel, go and cross the roads, carry them and come for me. You know, so this is our oppressor's mentality. Amen? Whatever it is, I believe that what angels understand, whether you give them direct commandment or not, is that if your words are not they are not the echoes of the word of God, they won't answer you. Do you get what I'm saying? The Bible says, that's what we read just now, Psalm 103. It said, bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. What I noticed there is that he said, who perform his word, and they obeyed the voice of his word. I am persuaded that the reason why he didn't say they obey his word, obey his voice, all right? Why he said they obey the voice of his word is that it is not only God that utters his own word. I don't know what I said. When he has spoken, I can take those words and utter them. Then my own voice, Banky's voice, becomes the voice of God's word. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, if he says something, all right, it's moving around. I said it again and again. It's just moving around. The angels don't have to do anything if it's not directed at them at that particular point in time. But if I take those words and re-utter them, you get my point? They enter into me, and from me they come forth again. The angels don't understand whether it's Banky that said it or not. All they know is that they have heard the voice of his word, and they respond to that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So do you directly sit down and say, hey, Creoni, come here. I have work for you today. I don't know. I really don't. Creoni is the name of one angel I read about in Angels on Assignment. All right? That's why I just brought that one up. All right? He said, okay, Gabriel, I want to send you somewhere. He may be busy. Maybe the Lord sent him somewhere else. And it might make, if he begs for you, all right, say, my friend, be careful. All right, the Lord is good. Now, what I'm just saying is that it is not necessarily an issue of, do I sit down and utter commandments directly that tell my angels, go and bring me money? Well, people say that you should do that. I don't do it. I don't have scriptural precedence for it. But one thing I know is that it is not even necessary. Are you getting my point? If I continually utter the word of God, then my words become the voice of his word. So if I speak about my life concerning divine protection, this morning I was teaching my children in the house. I said, the lesson this morning was, why do we pray? So I was explaining to them the principle of prayer. That you don't have food to eat because daddy works. You don't have food to eat because mommy works. I said, you have food to eat because God gave the food. And I said, that's why, what do we do every time before we eat? They say, we thank God. I said, yeah, that's why we always thank God. Because it is not our strength that produced the food. It is God that sends the food through whichever means the thing got to us. It is God that provided the food. And I said in the same manner, I said, look, we all go to sleep at night. Do you know we have security guards in this house? And they look like, we have security guards in this house. I said, yes, we have security guards. We can't see them, but they are there. I said, that's why we go to sleep. That's why we just lock our doors and we'll go and sleep, and we'll sleep in peace. Because we can't protect ourselves. I was teaching children, all right? I said, we can't protect ourselves. God protects us, and he has put his security guards around our home. I said, don't worry about it. They are there, even if we can't see them. Do you understand my point? Now, once you utter such words, you say, how do I know? Because the angel of the Lord encamp around those who fear him and deliver them. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround his people. As you are uttering those words, then they are taking their positions around the house. But when you get up, actually, this is what I told you, I just used that to introduce, reminding us of something that we know already, all right? We must never forget it. But if I get up and say, ha, Enugu is dangerous now. I heard that the other day, one man was crossing the road. A car knocked him down and he died. Then the chairman of one local government, they just took a gun and shot him, and he's dead. There was one boy, and you keep on narrating and narrating, what are we going to do? Man, things are hard. You see, I beg, what is the gauge of steel on this our windows? Let's go and double it, then fear is starting. Are you getting my point? Then what you are doing is that you are weakening the hands of the angels that are supposed to protect you. Do you understand my point? Let me remind us of this again. Every time in life, all right? You know, I said life is what? A battle of what? Words. I've said that in again and again. It's a battle of what? Words. And anytime you read a story, for example, they tell you that fuel is going up from 65 to how much? 150. There are two ways to respond. Yes, we always knew. They want to kill we masses. You see, you're dead. That is, don't worry. Whether they kill you or not, you're already dead. Because you have declared it. They want to kill we, child of God. Can you believe? Hey, Solomon said, I have seen an evil under the sun. Strange things. I have seen children of God calling themselves we masses. Kings and priests, they have become we masses. Are you getting my point? Well, unbelievers are not agreeing that they are masses, but children of God are saying, we masses. Solomon said, it's an evil that I have seen under the sun. That's one way to respond. That's one way to respond. Say, they want to kill us. What should somebody do? You go and dig pit in your house and start buying petrol to stop. That's one way to respond. You are afraid. Say, this is my car. Ha! Now, why did I buy a car that chose for like this? So, now you won't buy. Start telling your friends, I want to sell it to. No, I'll give a very good price though. I'll give you a good price. Because once they increase the price of this fuel, I just know that I can't just fuel this car again. I just go and pack it. Abba, abba, abba. Hey, what's a man going to do? As you are talking like that, the angels will fold their, they just take their sword. And I guess modern day angels, they use swords. This guy should be using guns and grenades by now. But they just pack their ammunition and keep the thing aside. Just wrap their belt that contains all the bullets. Just keep the thing aside. Say, what's happening? They say, there's no work. Why? We are not hearing the voice of his word. We are hearing the voice of complaining. Are you getting my point? We don't hearken. Let me tell you something here. You know, there are people that wanted to feel sorry for them. They don't know that God doesn't feel sorry for people. I don't know. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? You know, they just want to feel sorry for them. Say, if you see how I have suffered, now, I told you, if you go and apply for a job, don't explain to the boss how you have suffered and how you need this job. If I were him, I wouldn't employ you. You're a risky person to employ. You're only thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about me, all right? In the same manner, don't wait for anybody's pity in life. Don't go to God and say, see the way I don't suffer. Hey, Lord, the last 3 weeks, I have hardly slept. And the Lord will say, me, I have never slept. Should I feel sorry for you? That just in 3 weeks that you have not slept. So, you know, it's a human thing, you know. One day a young man came to look for me. I didn't give him an appointment. You understand? He now said, the day that rain really beat him very well. I said, how is that my business that rain beat you? You didn't see shade when the rain was falling to come out of the rain. My friend, you have a letter for me. Drop it and get out from here. Stop whining and telling me that rain really beat you. Is that my problem? You know, humans want you to just feel sorry for them. And they carry that thing into spiritual things also. When you go and kneel down and pray, Lord, your son has not eaten for days. Can you imagine? The day before yesterday, in fact, I could not sleep because of hunger. And you are there. You know what the angels are doing? That's why I'm going. They don't feel sorry for you. They can't hear you. The Bible says they hearken unto the voice of self-pity. Did you read that? It said they hearken unto the voice of self-pity. No, they only hearken unto the voice of his word. So when you start the whining and grumbling and complaining, they just fold their guns, their AK-47, whichever one they are using, they fold all their ammunition and they just relax. And one angel said, boy, why did they sit down? Said, no work. Why are you sitting down? There's no work. There's nothing to do. The man with the same way, the garden cop, he doesn't need protection. Is he around? I can't hear him. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. Because the guy is hearing his and when they murmur in the wilderness, they perish in the wilderness. And he's not an angel that perishes people. When you want to die, he will call the angel of death for you. Are you getting my point? So the guy is incapacitated. Why? Because of the voice that is not the voice of his word. But if in the midst of the troubles, you know, like we said, there's one way to respond. The second way is that in the midst of the troubles, what is it? No, we're talking about the sayings of God. I think it's very good we did that series. You know why? Anytime they are showing it on TV now, people are always excited. We keep on getting mails. Oh, the sayings of God. That is, It's good. People should know what God says. That's why we read that series, The Saints of God. In the midst of those troubles, what did God say about the situation? And remember what I said before, there is no situation that God hasn't spoken a word about. There's none. There's none. There's none. I was listening to the book of Job yesterday and today in my car. And I realized again, it didn't strike me like that before, that all the calamities of Job, apart from his sickness, the loss of all his property and everything, happened within like an hour or two. Yes. Go and read it. He said, while he was yet speaking, the next one arrived. While he was yet speaking, another one arrived. While he was yet speaking, the next one arrived. I don't believe any man has been harassed like Job was. I said, unconsciously, I thought that maybe over a space of like 2-3 weeks, these problems were coming upon him one after the other. No. He lost all his worldly possessions and his whole family, all his children. And they were not babies. They were adults. They were doing party in their homes. He lost all of them in the space of a few hours. Just a few hours. As one man was finishing reporting the calamity, the next one took off from where that one stopped. And before he will finish, the next guy is waiting to say, finish your own, let me report my own troubles. Yet, God has something to say about it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, there's nothing, no matter how bad, and no matter how good, that a man will experience, there's nothing that a woman will go through that God has not spoken something about. And if you want the angels to respond, you just don't whine. Don't complain. They don't understand that. They don't. What they understand is what? The voice of his word. When you discover that, just speak it. Whether you are telling them, listen, I hereby tell you to go, they will go. So if you add it to it, I don't know whether it's an advantage or not, but once you utter the word of God, they will go. And that's the answer I give people all the time. When they say that, can you command your angels? I say, I don't know. They hearken unto the voice of his word, wherever it is coming from. Once somebody is able to bring that word forth out of his heart, and the angels hear it, then they hearken. So, well, it's going up to 150. Somebody says, if he likes, let it be 300 naira. It only means I will prosper more than I've prospered before. I will not start driving a lawnmower just because fuel is not expensive. Those are simple words. Because you see, let me tell you something about the word of God again. It's not just a correct quotation that's the word of God. Please, I need to understand this. I want you to understand this. I need to explain it properly. It's not just that the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. One man says, see, that's why the angels did not respond. Because the Bible actually said, every knee shall bow. I've heard that before. It sounds funny. That you are quoting the scripture wrongly. I feel like saying that, do demons speak only King James English? Because only King James has said every knee shall bow. So that's not the word of God. The fact that he quoted it accurately. You understand? Like somebody said that when he said, look, let your words be scriptural. He said, all right, start speaking English. Thou knowest that I meanest what I sayest. In Enugu, in the year 2011. Just because your pastor reads King James English. And the same man, it doesn't have to be a direct quotation. Once those thoughts, listen to this, are derived from divine information. And if you go and read, let me just show you as an illustration. Okay, where I got that from. The book of Hebrews. Let's just read that one. Then we'll continue our prayer we were praying last time. Chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I'll just quickly read it. From verse 5, he said, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. That was what God said. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? Now, you see that verse 6, a quotation from the words of David, all right, in Psalm 118. But the point is that, you see, God didn't say, the Lord is my helper. Are you getting my point? But why did David say it? Paul now was speaking here, teaching us something. Because God said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. The derivative of that is that the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Are you getting my point? That is, the man is uttering something derived out of the information that he got from the words of God. And that is still the voice of his word. I don't know what I heard I said. So, let's go back to that fuel matter. The one that activates evil spirits and makes the angels tired of walking is that he said, they're about to kill us, we masses. Ever since this woman came back from World Bank, we should have known that there was trouble. She has come here to come and give us the economics of the first world. Eh? Does she not understand that we are a developing country? You're whining and complaining. The more you talk, the more the angels go to sleep. And then the evil spirit said, yes, it's time for you to be sharp. What that one Pastor Banky has been saying, you see that he can't handle fuel matter. Are you getting my point? But the second one, which is a derivation, that's what I'm saying. That's what I want to emphasize. Not necessarily like I'm quoting it. It's good to quote it, if you can. But whether you can quote it literally or not, it doesn't matter. Listen, it does not matter. Let me say it to you in case you haven't heard it before. It doesn't matter. It is the information you got from inside it that matters. I've heard prayers that are frightening to even me, human beings. A human being. Some people pray some prayers. Why? Are you sure God understands what this guy is saying? Start using words that have no meaning to the person. As if that makes the prayer more powerful. There's what Jesus called vain repetitions. If you look at vain repetition, what he was implying is that you can use plenty of words that are empty. Are you getting my point? So it's not that we quoted it correctly. That's not the issue. It's that the information inside, have I processed it and then produced something based on that information? Are you getting what I'm saying? So he said here, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Therefore, they say, roads are dangerous. They say, oh boy, I'm not alone. Those who they work out with me, they are plenty. That's not a quote from the Bible, but it's derived from this scripture. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? In the same manner, I say, fuel, if you like, go on to 300 naira. I just have mercy. I feel pity for those who don't know God. But no matter the price fuel goes up to, I will be able to buy. In fact, I will have more than I used to have before. If I decide to go and buy, if God gives me the ability to buy, if I the least fuel efficient car on the road, from what I was told, I read it somewhere, is the Bugatti Veyron. Bugatti is the fastest, car right now on the earth, all right? A normal car that people use, a Bugatti. It makes people like Ferrari and the Lamborghini look like they are crawling. Bugatti was made by Volkswagen, all right? Bugatti. The thing goes well. To drive from here to 9th mile, if you use that kind, 9th mile, if you use that kind of 4 gallons, for information, in my car, 1 gallon will almost reach your car. You say, Lord, even if I were to drive a Bugatti, I will be able to fuel it. You have not literally quoted the scripture. Are you getting my point? But you have reinvented the one that says that even though the young lions, you understand? They lack and they suffer hunger. Those that seek the Lord will never lack any food necessary. Are you getting my point? That is the voice of his word. The other day, somebody told me that Esut, that and the law faculty, the students in year one or year two now, they pay 180 something thousand naira tuition in a year. I'm not going to the school, right? But I was surprised. I said, what? When did government schools start charging like that? I was surprised. Let's assume that you just got admission to study law. Now, I didn't mean to upset you, but that's the price. That's the school fees now in Faculty of Law in Esut. I was told this about 2 weeks ago. There's a case of, let's forget it. No. Let's just forget. There's no need. There's no need. As you are saying, there's no need. These things are rough. There's no need. The angels come out there. There's this belt they use for carrying bullets. They just remove the bullets. They wind them. Say, there's no need. Things are so tight. They put it down. There's no need. They remove the gun. The one they put inside the gun. They just unhook it. As we are saying, there's no need. Ah, man, this country is bad. Hey, you begin cry. The more you cry, the more they go to sleep. There's no need. They open the bottles. There's no need. They'll be serving themselves drink. They drink because the guy they are supposed to be working on his behalf is not uttering the voice of his word. You are getting what I'm saying? Because his heart is failing because of what his eyes behold. But is there another way to respond? Listen, you know, I said something last Saturday. Nobody's pretending like you know, go feel him. You understand? You just pretend like you didn't see it. Jesus saw things and he ran. What did I say? He ran. It's where he ran to that's the issue. He didn't run away from the cross. He ran into the garden and he went to go and pray. When he saw the cross approaching, he said, "Will I say, deliver me from this?" What I'm trying to make is that there's a fleshly response. Are you getting my point? Now, but that's what will it trigger? That's what I'm saying. Will it trigger? Let's just forget it. We'll defy this admission. There's nothing. Let's just forget it. Or it would trigger? No, it is time to activate warring angels. It is time to go into the garden and pray until we are confident. And we don't go there to go and complain. Lord, don't sleep. Don't sleep. The wicked have come again. They don't want your children to go to school. What shall we do? What shall we do? No, that's not what we're saying. You go there and kneel and begin to pray. And in the prayer you are declaring, no, that's not what the word of God says. No. Say, God is my El Shaddai. Are you getting my point? He said, I will lift up my hands to the hills. Is that where my help is going to come from? No. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. He's the all-sufficient God. Therefore, this 180-something thousand naira a year, I can pay it. I will have it. He will supply my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He said, look, be careful for nothing, but with in everything with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Therefore, Lord, I make my request to you now. This is the amount I have to pay as tuition. Supply it in the name of Jesus Christ. I receive it from your hands in the name of Jesus, because with you there is no lack. Because with you there is no lack. Because with you there is no lack. You are declaring this. And of course, as soon as you come out, Satan is always waiting. Have you heard? I think I told this story before. Once when I was in university, I was a medical student. We're doing anatomy, physiology, and biochemistry. What they call second MB. Second and third year. This was my third year. And the exam was approaching. And for one reason or the other, I didn't like biochemistry. And I'll go to class, I wouldn't read it. I had two fat notes, had a textbook, I would just wouldn't read it. Because when I start reading it, I start feeling sleepy. But when I read anatomy, it used to flow. So you find I was always reading anatomy and physiology. I'll go to class and I try to go with two textbooks, two subjects for the day. I'll read any other one I carried with biochemistry. And the exam was approaching. So one day, I settled down. And that's how you should handle all the issues of your life. Are you getting my point? This is how you should handle it, and God will always respond. What did I say? God will always respond. So one day I just said, you like biochemistry, not like biochemistry. It's your personal problem. In this school, you must know it and pass it. You must know it and pass it. So I settled down one day and I prayed. And I explained to the Lord that, listen, this is the issue with this thing. No. But I can't afford to fail it. I need to know it and pass it. So I just uttered my words in prayer and asked the Lord for his favor to give me understanding. And I came to class that day and I told the Lord, from now on, I will read it regularly, like any other thing. That day I got to class, as I sat down, I don't know what carried me there, but I went and sat down beside Oluwukayode. I still remember very well my classmate. As I sat down, the very words I just uttered in repentance to God in prayer, he heard it. I don't know how he heard it. He just said, this biochemistry is very volatile. God in heaven, who I serve with all my heart, is my witness. That was what we used to say. And I just told the Lord I will never say it again. That biochemistry is volatile. That once you finish cramming all those structures of cholesterol, isoleucine, all those things, they will just go zoom as soon as you come up for there. And I said to the Lord, I will never say it again. I will read it and I will remember it. And I got to class. I sat down. Boom! Oluwukayode was on my right. And he was reading biochemistry. He opened the book, shook his head, said, oh boy, biochemistry is volatile. You know, as in former days, days gone by, I was about to start responding that, now, wow. Suddenly I caught myself. I turned to him. I said, biochemistry is not volatile. Then I turned to him again. I said, biochemistry is not volatile. I turned to him a third time. God is my witness. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you this really happened. I turned to him a third time. I said, biochemistry is not volatile. That is, I still remember him. He said, uh-uh. Yes. He turned to me and said, uh-uh. Like, wait, now fight. Say, I talk once, now he turned out to fight like this. He didn't understand where I was coming from. I just finished from where I was praying. You want to now come and scatter the whole thing? Accuser of the brethren. There and there, and listen, that's what the devil likes to do. You finish that prayer, as you come out, you just sit down somewhere. Guys go to discuss, say, now, wow. Last week, one boy, I saw him crying as they were removing him from the class. He could not pay. Can you believe? His father tried the best. He even put the land in the village for sale, but people said there's Christ in the village, they're not going to buy. Eh? Can you imagine? Listen, when you hear that, it is you that they are, that is, that plan was against you. Do you get my point? Don't think it's just a chance meeting. It was, you know, it's called the enemy of your soul. You planned it to ruin that prayer you just prayed. If you don't know what to say, say it simply. That won't be my portion. Abi? They talk to you. Say, I don't care. It's not my portion. They may not know you're ever in the school. You get my point? Just say, it's not my portion. My needs are met. In Jesus' name, my needs are met. Vex. Turn on to fight. Doesn't matter. Just don't agree with them. That's the most important thing. You can turn it to fight, but don't agree with them. You don't understand this country. Things are very tough. I say, I know, for some people. But for some of us, we have help from above. Tell them, I'm a lucky man. Don't worry, I'll soon stumble into money. Yes, that's how you declare it. I'm a very lucky man. As you see me, so, hey, my middle name is Lucky. I'm blessed. Listen, just watch. You will soon see, I will soon get a scholarship. I will soon get a part-time job that will pay me 3 times what my father was earning. Just watch. Where is it going to come from? You don't know. Uptight like that, the Bible says that angels hearken to that voice. I told you then that this man said he saw angels all around his house. And they said, what is going on? They were looking angry and ready for battle. And they said, we have come to do battle concerning your finances. Listen, when you declare like that, the angels will go out and do battle concerning your finances. I think the most important thing I've said today, let me just say it again, is the fact that whining gets nowhere spiritually. They don't feel sorry for people up there. I don't think those angels understand any emotional thing. No, go and read their story. They will injure a prophet and don't care. Wasn't an angel that wanted to injure Balaam? An angel stood on the road. He was going to kill Balaam. Thank God for the donkey that was running. The angels, they don't understand all of these things. You can whine from that. I don't think they understand how to feel sorry for you. They have their trigger. Are you getting my point? They have their trigger. Their trigger is when you utter words that have been, you know, the soup is out of the ingredients, the many ingredients in the scriptures. When you utter that, they respond. When you whine, they fold their weapons. They lie down. The chief angel will say, boy, small boy angels, what's going on? Say, there's no work. This place is too cold. There's no work. Why? The man the woman we're sent to go and help, all he or she is doing is whining. And we don't hearken unto the voice of complaining. We don't hearken unto the voice of grumbling. We don't hearken unto the voice of commentary on what's going on in the country. Can you believe it? I heard that Niger Delta area now, NUPENG is on strike. Now, wow, we're dead. That's commentary. You get my point? What is that? Commentary. They don't hearken onto that. Is that in the midst of anything you are going through, there is a word that God has spoken. They have been wired to respond to that word. Listen, when I uttered that day, God honored me. He did.